No judgments here. Just convenience.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
I don't even know if that's a joke or not.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, we got some fun text after that last segment. Hour three, Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, the intern army in the Priority One Security Studios. Text from the 864 says, this is my favorite segment you've done. I don't know if that's because we cost the listeners $12.11. I don't know what that is. Text from the 864, a little more positive, says, you only lost $1 a week, Quack. That's true. For the cost of a droplet of coffee, you can also place your bets with me on Vegas win totals. A droplet of coffee, because cups of coffee costs like $28 these days. Eric says $12 for that entertainment. I'll take that every day. That's what I'm here for, folks. That's why we do this. Just want to entertain folks. You know, I didn't think about that Kelly was calling in. And Katie, I very much appreciate you filling in for Kelly and saying what she would have said. But I'm going to drop this knowledge on her and see what her actual response is here in just a second. We'll see how close you got. Are you nervous? You're a little nervous?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Confident.
You're confident?
Yeah, I think she'll agree with me.
Okay, very good. Hey, you know what everybody's going to agree on is Omaha Steaks is a great stocking stuffer, folks. And yes, I said stocking stuffer. Stuff that steak in a stocking. Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher, bringing families together since 1917. Order with complete confidence today. We've already cracked the pork chops, and they are delightful. Right now, Omaha Steaks sharing an amazing limited-time holiday offer with our listeners. Get a jump on that shopping. OmahaSteaks.com. Enter the code OOB in a search bar to order the favorite gift package. The gift everyone will love for only $69.99. Order now and get this. 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steak signature seasoning packet, and for our listeners only, a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board. All this delicious food, plus the free cutlery set they'll enjoy for years to come for only $69.99. Omaha Steaks, the most tender, the most flavorful. You can only get steaks this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. Hand-cut by master butchers in the heartland of America. Over 100 years of expertise delivering perfectly aged beef. Sharing food makes great memories with family and friends, folks. We know this. They'll love their amazing gift, and all orders are backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Get that favorite gift holiday package plus the 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board for only $69.99. Type OOB in the search bar at OmahaSteaks.com. But don't wait, folks. This offer ends soon. Go to OmahaSteaks.com. Type OOB in at the search bar to order the gift everyone will love. Order the favorite gift package today.
Hashtag steak in a stocking.
Hashtag steak in a stocking. Let's do it. We're starting a movement, people. But again, keep those things individually wrapped. Do not put raw meat in a stocking. That's a really bad idea. Let's go down to Tallahassee, where Kelly Gramlich is prepping for Michigan State and Florida State tonight. You can check that out on the ACC Network. She joins us right now. Hi, Kelly.
Quack, what is happening on this show? I just listened to your last intro to this segment. You're talking about stuffing stockings with steak, which is fine. That kind of makes sense. But then what happened in the previous segment? You have to fill me in because I'm so intrigued.
Okay, so here's what happened. So you know how I said I was going to hold myself accountable for my over-under picks this year? I've been very open about this. Okay. So here's what I did. I wrote down when I made all those picks and we talked about them on air. I wrote down the payouts that they would get at the time that we talked about them, and then decided if you put $100 on every single, like if you wagered $100 on every single play that I pointed out with the wins and losses, would you actually make money? And what ended up happening was I went 10-9. Thanks to John Heights, East Carolina Pirates. I went 10-9, but I ended up losing the listeners $12.11 out of $1,900. So what is your reaction knowing that I went 10-9, we're over 500, but because of the payout structure, I did lose $12.11 proverbially this season?
You know, it's not as bad as I thought it could have been, Kwok. It could have been a lot worse to only lose $12. You know, you play for the fun of it. So I think you did okay there. Maybe we can look to get in the green and out of the red next year. That'd be a good goal. But $12, that's not bad. So did you know that before you went through it, or did you discover that as you did the segment?
Well, I did it before I came in here. That's why I said it was very risky for me to hold myself accountable like this, because I already knew the result. Yeah, if I had to do all that math live, we'd need a fourth hour of the show today. There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Well, you've done it before. I mean, you've done a lot of math live. So.
You're not wrong about that. You're really not wrong. Okay, so I don't know if you've been on Twitter this morning. I know you've been very busy, and I want to ask you about your busyness. But the very interesting results of the online poll that I posted on Twitter today. I was very Kelly Gramlich and did a series of polls concerning the college football playoff. I want to ask you the three questions, and then I'll give you, we have about 35 minutes before these close. If folks want to go to @QualkTalk and vote on these, I'm going to ask you these questions. Okay, there's three questions concerning the contenders for the fourth and final CFP spot. Are you ready to answer these questions? Okay.
I am ready. I haven't seen these polls yet.
Very good.
I don't follow you on Twitter, Quok. I haven't blocked you, but
Yeah. You know what? I appreciate that very much. It's something that you'll be proud of. All right, here we go. Of the contenders for the fourth and final CFP spot, which one is the best team in your mind? Georgia, Utah, Oklahoma, or Baylor?
The best team in my mind is Utah.
All right. Why Utah?
Because of what we've talked about really all season long on Outbound, and from what I've seen from Utah with my own eyes, they are the best team offensively and defensively of those four. They're very balanced. They have explosive playmakers on offense. Their defensive line is salty. And yes, they do have the loss, as do the rest of those teams. And their loss isn't really, I would say actually Baylor has the best loss of all of them, but their loss doesn't look as much worse than Oklahoma's loss or Georgia's loss. And lately, especially lately, the last 6 weeks, they've played lesser opponents in the Pac-12 and they've blown out pretty much all of them. So they've been very impressive in that regard. So that's why I would say Utah is the best of the four.
All right, right now, with a half hour left, Utah has gotten 70% of the votes here in this poll.
Wow.
Oklahoma is actually at 15%. Georgia is at 13%, and Baylor's at 2%. Are you surprised at that?
So Feinbaum didn't vote.
I guess not. And actually, we talked about this because there was a tweet from Georgia Greg, and he basically said, well, you guys have railed on Georgia all year long, so nobody's going to vote for Georgia. But my counter to that is Paul Feinbaum said nobody cares about Utah yesterday, and it turns out that it just brought out all the people who do care about Utah to tell us that they care about Utah. So it can work both ways.
Yeah. Well, and with Georgia, yes, they have the best wins of that group. I'm not going to deny that. But none of their wins are super convincing, even over some lesser teams, even over teams that they should have blown out. And then their loss is the worst loss of all the losses that those schools have. Georgia's loss is the worst. When you look at their offense, it's not impressive. It's not explosive. It doesn't feel like it can compete with the Ohio States and Clemson's and LSU's of the world. And the offenses that look like they can compete are Oklahoma's and Utah's. But Oklahoma, yes, they won every game but one, but they've really struggled in some recent games, and it feels like they can't blow out teams like they could in the past. And that's why we put Oklahoma in the past, because they had those bad losses. But after that loss, they played really well. They were blowing teams out. They looked good, and they had some more statement wins. And I just don't see that with this year's Oklahoma team.
All right, so there's question number one. Question number two is a little different, but it is distinctive. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Of the contenders for the fourth and final CFP spot, which is the most deserving team, Georgia, Utah, Oklahoma, or Baylor?
So are you saying right now, or?
I'm saying right now. I'm just going to assume that we're trying to make a determination right now.
Right now.
That was a visceral reaction to that question.
I would say none of them.
Classic answer.
Just by when you say deserving, to me, what that tells to me is look at the resume, look at the wins they have, and compare that to the loss. And just going off who they've beaten and the wins that they can claim, I would say Georgia.
All right, see, I said Georgia.
I whispered it, hoping that you wouldn't hear me.
Yeah, no, I said Georgia. Okay. I thought Georgia was the most deserving team, yeah. And you know who agrees with that? Almost no one. Because Utah got 70% of the best, But 76% of the most deserving votes. Georgia only got 12%. Oklahoma and Baylor each got 6% of the most deserving. I'm a little surprised that I figured, if anything, that'd be flipped, that more people would think Utah was better, but more people think Georgia was more deserving because of the resume. So that was a little stunning.
As the age-old saying goes, the Greenville area is Salt Lake City East. Everyone knows that. There's a big Utah contingent in that area.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for the Jazz to play at Bon Secours. I can't wait.
They play there just for the fans.
All right, and then of the contenders for the fourth and final CFP spot, this is the third and final question here. Which is the team you most want to see in the playoff field, Georgia, Utah, Oklahoma, or Baylor?
I want to see Utah.
Okay.
For a lot of the reasons that we've discussed on the show, and I said a lot of those yesterday, mainly because I'm a huge fan of college football trying to get out of its regional ways. I know that it's always, to a certain extent, going to be a regional game. But if we can incorporate the West Coast and incorporate the West Coast and get people in California and Oregon and Arizona to watch the game, mainly because they're interested in the Pac-12 and want to see if Utah can stand up to some of these giants, then I'm good with that. If they're the most deserving team, then I want them in, and I like that they're going to be in because it will be a more all-encompassing playoff.
I like it. We agree all three of these. We do. It's almost like we work together literally every day, and we probably have talked about these things for hours and hours and hours. Right.
Because that's actually not true, because normally we don't think the same way. We don't always agree. So maybe this just means that we are right.
That's true. Or we're both horribly wrong, and we're about to have egg on our face.
There's that as well, but I'm just going to choose to accept that that's not the truth right there.
We're going to talk a lot more about the games coming up tomorrow when you come in here on two wheels to help do the show.
Yep.
But I want to ask about why you're in Tallahassee. So give us a little sneak peek. When we turn on ACC Network tonight and we see KG's smiling face, what are we going to be watching and what are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm in Tallahassee for tonight's – it's actually Quack. I had to correct myself, and I don't know if you did this last night. This year it's the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Because every year it rotates of which conference gets to be said first.
What?
So I'm here for the I read that in the Michigan State notes. So I'm here for the Big Ten ACC Challenge in Tallahassee. We have number 8 Florida State versus number 19 Michigan State. It's going to be a great battle. It's the second top 20 matchup in the Big Ten ACC Challenge this season. You also have NC State and Maryland going at it, but.
Classic ACC showdown between NC State and Maryland. Yeah.
Right. This one feels more Big Ten ACC. But we just went through Michigan State's shoot around, and I was really impressed with them. They have some significant size, which we both know is an important key to being able to beat Florida State. And had a really good talk after shoot around with Michigan State's head coach, Susie Merchant. And she's been there for nearly 15 years. She's had a ton of success. And she was really open about a lot of things. She was really candid. And she said that she and Tom Izzo are best friends. She used the term best friends. And she said that a lot of times, because being the head coach at a major Power 5 institution, especially for football and men's basketball, it's a great job, but it can be a very lonely job because no one is going through what you're going through. And really the only people at the school that know what you're going through are the other head coaches of the major sports. So she said that, she and Izzo, they talk basketball all the time. They talk pretty much every day. And she even said that after Michigan State lost to Duke the other night, and I don't even know if you can call it a loss, it was more like a thumping, that Izzo called her. And they just, like, talked about what went wrong, talked about what they can do better. She said that she's had multiple players marry his players and have kids. And so she and Izzo are grandparents to those kids.
Wow.
She just said that they're super close, which was really an interesting conversation to have, and so that's going to definitely make it in the broadcast tonight.
I like that. I'm glad we got a little sneak peek in there. All right, a couple of more before we let you run, because I know you're very busy this afternoon getting ready for that tonight. The Cowboys play the Bears tonight, and I know you're not watching, but you're in the portion of the year where you're in a bit of a tough spot, because every win makes it more likely that, in Jerry Jones' opinion, Jason Garrett is the head coach of the Cowboys, and with every loss, it becomes Jerry Jones' opinion that he will be a head coach somewhere in the NFL next year. So, in your mind, are you actually rooting for the Cowboys tonight to beat the Bears, or are you trying to root him away, so to speak?
I am still rooting for the Cowboys because I think Jason Garrett is a dead man walking, and he's going to be done after this year, even if he does win the division, because that division is atrocious. It's kind of like the ACC Coastal of the NFL. It's just awful. No one wants to win it. But this is such a fascinating game tonight, Quack, because, first of all, you have two franchises who have two really big fan bases. You know, these are two big brands to play on a Thursday night. And then your question is interesting because I think both fan bases feel this way to a certain extent. I'm not sure if the fan bases watching this game even want their teams to win because they are so unhappy with the current regimes in place, and even in Chicago with the current quarterback. And so the more games that Trubisky doesn't show up and looks bad and looks incompetent, maybe you try to take a quarterback next year or you trade for someone. So I think it's such an interesting approach for these fan bases because neither fan base is really happy with their team. And, you know, with Matt Nagy, this is only his second year in Chicago, and they did have a good year last year. So I really doubt that the answer in Chicago is going to be to get rid of him if they maybe finish under 500. But it might be to move away from Trubisky, which could be interesting. And then it's kind of the flip in Dallas. The answer is not going to be to get rid of Dak Prescott, but it might be the answer to get rid of Jason Garrett. So it's a really interesting game. I'm not sure if the fan base is even rooting for their own teams because they both want changes.
So you don't think if Dallas beats the Bears on the road, the Rams, wins in Philly and beats the Redskins, goes 10-6, wins the division, goes to the playoffs, you don't think there's a chance that Jerry Jones is like, what are you going to do? I love the guy. We're bringing him back. You don't think there's any way that they bring him back?
Look, that could very well happen. I wouldn't be shocked. But you know what would also happen? The Cowboys would lose in the playoffs. Okay, it happens every year. And I think the fan base is just, they're done. They're over it. And you reminded me yesterday that Jason Garrett has been there since 2010, which I did not put that together. I did not think he had been there that long. And it feels like you can accomplish so much more in Dallas in 9 seasons, really, I guess 10 seasons, than Jason Garrett has. And it just feels like it's time. It's time to cut the cord. It's time to part ways. And, you know, Clark, I'll take the same stance as Jerry. Jason Garrett will be a coach next year somewhere in the NFL. Just hopefully not in Dallas.
Very good. We hope the guy gets paid, but not by us. That's very good. That's very thoughtful of you.
Special teams coordinator in Tampa. You do a great job there.
I'm glad you moved into a tropical paradise. And now, like, he'll be a great defensive backs coach in Buffalo.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone, even Jason Garrett.
Very good. Kelly, you can watch her tonight, 8 o'clock, ACC Network. It's Michigan State and Florida State. That's going to be fun on the women's side. And quite honestly, Kelly, after the ACC went 0-5 in the challenge last night, it needs to be called the Big Ten ACC Challenge because the ACC has lost the right to be said first. That's crazy.
Yeah. Tonight there are 9 games, so going to need a really good showing. And I have a lot of faith in some teams that are playing tonight, the Syracuse's of the world and Florida State and teams like that. So we'll see in Louisville. We'll see what happens, but definitely going to need a good showing.
Very good.
They could have never won this challenge on the women's side.
Seriously?
Never won it.
Ever?
Yeah, they've tied 3 times, but they've
never
won it.
Oh, man. So they're licking their chops tonight. This would be a 28-3 lead if they blew it. It would be exactly that.
They had so many struggles throughout the last number of years. They had to go steal Maryland from us. Can you believe that?
That's true. Yeah. The ACC gave them up kicking and screaming. Everyone was like, no, please don't take Maryland. No, stop. We don't know how we'll survive. That's totally how that worked.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Direct reenactment there.
We appreciate it. Thanks very much. Good luck tonight on the call.
I appreciate you holding down the 4 o'clock and intern Katie, intern James. Sounds like you guys are doing an awesome job, and I expect nothing less. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Kelly. Enjoy.
Okay.
KG.
See ya.
On the phones. Later. Good stuff there from Kelly. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Roy Philpott. We'll talk to him about football landscape, basketball landscape. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds in a moment.
You've heard folks talk about the sauce at Joe's New York Pizza. I'm here to tell you it is the sauce that makes the lasagna so great. Believe me, I know lasagna, and Joe's New York Pizza lasagna is my favorite. Their homemade marinara sauce, beef, ricotta, and mozzarella cheese loaded with their special spices. The lasagna at Joe's New York Pizza, which comes with a salad and those famous garlic knots, is where it's at. Seneca or Clemson, make it Joe's New York Pizza for lasagna with the sauce.
Tom's Barbecue is proud to announce the opening of their second location, Greer. You can now get your barbecue fix in their new location on Wade Hampton Boulevard. Same menu and hours, but open through dinner until 8 p.m. every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and conveniently located near you. Bring the family and friends to come see what all the hype is about at Tom's Barbecue. Their signature Cheerwine sauce will keep you coming back for more. Visit them at 217 West Wade Hampton Boulevard, Suite G, or their flagship restaurant off Garlington and Woodruff Road in Greenville.
Hey, y'all. Former Clemson football player Hunter Renfrow here. When I'm not on the field, I choose Onward Reserve to outfit my lifestyle. Whether it's dinner with my wife, a round of golf with my friends, a day on the water fishing, or game day in Clemson, I count on Onward Reserve to look my best. Swing by their new store in Clemson for game day apparel, accessories, and more at 383 College Avenue, downtown Clemson, and online at onwardreserve.com.
Don't just trust anyone with your vehicle. First Class Halt Techs have over 175 years experience. Factory equipment, 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty, and free shuttle service. Friendly service in two locations, Clemson Boulevard, Anderson, and Roper Mountain Road, Greenville. FirstClassHalt.com.
When untamed, water is one of the most destructive forces on Earth, creating problems that cause you to be non-compliant. Incompliance is a turnkey stormwater, lake construction, and dredging company. Water management comes with a myriad of code requirements, and Incompliance specializes in keeping your water issues compliant. From full engineering and construction to simple solutions for small problems, they're the pros. Find them at stormwaterproblems.com. stormwaterproblems.com.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville, and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Hey Tigers, this is Leighton Cubbage with Lakeside Lodge Clemson, the area's first luxury condo hotel. And we can't wait to open our doors to you. Lakeside Lodge isn't just another hotel, and it's not just another lake house. It's the best of both worlds. Top-of-the-line amenities like a pool, restaurant, and lounge with housekeeping and maintenance to make ownership easy. Visit our sales center at 906 Tiger Boulevard to learn more about this Clemson institution in the making. Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It belongs here, and so do you.
Diamonds and Gold Direct. We're your diamond source.
Diamonds and Gold Direct in Anderson has been named Anderson's best jewelry store 5 years in a row. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's best. See their specials of the month featuring diamonds, emeralds, and cultured pearls. Diamonds and Gold Direct. Anderson's best jewelry store, Main Street, across from the mall.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
You have recognized my keen sense of humor.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years.
Hour 3 continues, Out of Bounds. William Quagenbush live inside the Priority One Security Studios. This hour brought to you by Tigertown Graphics, celebrating more than 30 years as Clemson source for one-of-a-kind T-shirts, fleece shirts, ponchos, and everything else authentically Clemson. Check out over 30 new designs this fall, made in Clemson by Tiger fans for Tiger fans. Visit their store in downtown Clemson today. Go back to our guest lines here. The Northland Communication phone line, 654-ROAR is the number. And the former host that sat in this very chair for many a Thursday such as this, he is Roy Philpott from ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, at Roy Philpott. You're going to enjoy that interaction quite a bit. What's up, Roy?
My friend, how are we doing, William? Hope you're doing well.
My man, it's been a pleasure just going through this season and getting into the silly season. How are you doing in November with the crossover between football and basketball and being basically dragged around by plane every day of the week.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. No complaints here, though. I love what I do, as you know. And last night we were in Tennessee for the Vols against Florida A&M and just took a quick plane trip up here to Michigan. I'm in Ann Arbor right now. We've got Michigan and Syracuse tonight on the women's side as part of said ACC Big Ten Challenge or the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That game's at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. And then tomorrow I'll catch a flight out to Boise for the Mountain West Championship game on Saturday, which I'm very excited about. So, yeah, the crossover is great. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of travel, but it's also a lot of fun.
You've gotten to call some really good basketball so far this year. You've gotten to see a lot of good teams. Who, so far, the games you've called in the last month or so on the basketball side, who is the best team that you've seen? We'll go like one men's and one women's team that you've seen, because I know you've done a little of both.
Well, I haven't done any women's games.
Oh, you had? Oh, okay. I got you.
But you know, Oregon is a team that stands out on the women's side. Certainly, Syracuse went over Baylor going back a week ago was very impressive. Stanford's kind of getting it going a little bit, but I'm kind of anxious to see Michigan tonight. They've got a team that's loaded with talent, and just kind of curious to see what they can do against Syracuse, which is a team that's lost to two number one teams already. So I haven't seen as many women's teams just yet, but that'll change starting around the first of the year. We'll have a game every Sunday. On the men's side, you know, I was there in Clemson for the Virginia Tech game. It was so funny. You know, that was Mike Young's first game as head coach for the Hokies. And we met with him, I don't know, for probably 10 or 15 minutes earlier that day before that season opener. And, you know, he basically just told us, I just don't think we're very good. You know, we play with effort, but you know, we've got a long ways to go. And he kind of sandbagged his team for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And so we kind of were expecting Virginia Tech to probably lose that game, and they didn't. And it was a very impressive performance. But, you know, Tennessee, watching them last night, they lost Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield. Rick Barnes recruited well. You know, Josiah James is now there, the former five-star who Clemson was involved with for a number of years, I guess. Tennessee is going to be a very difficult out. Seeing Auburn a couple of weeks ago, you know, they lost Bryce Brown, Jared Harper, but man, they're so much fun to watch. Like, I just love their brand of basketball, and right now they're, you know, right there inside the top 15. I don't think they're a Final Four team this year, but they're really good, and they're really fun to watch play because they're just going to load up threes, run the floor, athletic, and Bruce Pearl basically gives everybody the green light behind the three-point arc, so I would say Auburn's probably the best team I've seen so far, but I'm curious to see, you know, Kentucky. I'll get them in a couple of weeks up at Rupp and see what Coach Cal's doing up there, and then it kind of goes on from there.
Fantastic. We've been watching you all season long, do a ton of football all over the Fruited Plain in a number of locations. Watched you doing UCF and USF from down in Daytona during the break. Enjoyed the broadcast there. And speaking of USF, I want to ask you this because this is just a question that's out of nowhere. We're going to get to some playoff talk, but you know, last offseason, I did not think that Clemson's coordinators, Clemson staff were going to move. I just didn't think the jobs were that intriguing. Didn't hear the links or anything like that. It's a little different this time because I could totally see somebody like Jeff Scott going down to USF or linking up with one of these SEC jobs. In your opinion, whether there's information behind it or not, could be a wild guess. Do you think Clemson actually has some attrition at the coordinators or with their staff for head coaching jobs, some of these that are open this season? You have any sense of that?
I mean, God, if it doesn't happen now, when is it going to happen?
Right.
I mean, it's been a perfect storm. Brent Venables not wanted to go anywhere. Tony Elliott not wanted to go anywhere. Jeff Scott not wanted to go anywhere. And, you know, you can kind of understand why, because they've recruited so well. The brand is in place, and they're not going to leave Clemson for scrubby McScrubby State. They're just not going to do it. And so, you know, I think – if a group of five program is going to make a significant run at one of these guys, number one, they're going to have to open up their paybook. And number two, there better be facilities and infrastructure in place where they feel like they can come in there and kind of, you know, recruit the players that they want to, and that they don't have to kind of, you know, try to navigate those treacherous waters with boosters and the athletic department to try to raise money for facilities. So, you know, I mean, if you were to press me on it, I don't think Brent Venables was going anywhere for a number of reasons. But on the offensive side, it feels like that if the right team approached Jeff or Tony, that they would certainly give that its proper due diligence, vet it out, and see if that was a fit. Because, I mean, at this point, you know, what else can you prove? Now, you don't want to leave happiness, and that's something Shaka Smart used to always talk about when he was an assistant at Clemson, and then at VCU, and now at Texas. But at the same time, you know, I just don't know what else you can prove with what they've done as play callers. So, yeah, I mean, I could see it happening, but it's going to take a special job, I think, to get either one of them out of there.
Visit with Roy Philpott from ESPN. Check him out on Twitter, at Roy Philpott. And, again, you can hear him up in Ann Arbor and then all throughout the season. Wherever it says ESPN, you'll find Roy Philpott. That's always my go. Just one of the ESPNs or SEC Network, you'll find him. Elsewhere, I mean, look, I'm looking at some of these jobs, some of the rumors. To me, this is no longer like the silly season, the coaching carousel. It's more like the extension carousel because all these jobs are getting the coaches' extensions. We just saw Mike Leach get an extension today, and we hadn't talked a lot about Clay Helton, but you wonder if that's part of the reason that USC wants to just keep Clay Helton around is because you don't know if you're going to be the job that gets a bunch of coaches' extensions like Florida State has seemed to do so far. What do you make of the weirdness in the coaching transitions this season and how nobody seems really, at least the ones are available, really willing to take any of these jobs? It feels like they just use it to lock up better gigs where they are. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, the jobs that are out there are a bit slippery. I mean, Arkansas, Florida State, you know, had SC come available, there's just not a lot of bite to some of those positions. And it sounds a little funky because Florida State was, you know, a dynasty of sorts going back to the Bobby Bowden era and then what Jimbo was able to do in 2013 and 2014. He won a title, got his team to the playoff, and then it just, you know, the roof collapsed right on top of it. You couldn't recruit offensive linemen, you know, made some bad mistakes at the quarterback position. So, I mean, there's infighting at Florida State, too, you know, as they try to figure out, well, who controls the dollars? Is it the athletic department? Is it the booster club? And you know, how do we negotiate all of that? So I think some of the jobs that are out there just don't blow you away for a variety of reasons. I mean, Arkansas and the SEC West, they brought in a top 20 recruiting class last year under Chad Morris, and they had a bunch of guys committed. The problem is, if you're the 20th ranked class overall in the SEC West, you're still like next to last in that division because everybody outside of Mississippi State is out recruiting you. So those jobs, Quark, I just don't think are that attractive. You mentioned USF. We spoke with Charlie Strong at Link last week, right before our game, when they faced USF. And we spent half the call listening to him, consoling him about the lack of facilities down in Tampa. And he's just trying to get an indoor practice facility. Well, do you think Jeff Scott or Tony Elliott want that job when you don't even have that? And they've been trying to raise funds for that facility for the last 3 years? I mean, the blueprints look great. You can see it in their game notes and on their website. But it rains all the time in Tampa, and you can't practice indoors. So the jobs that are out there, even Florida State, for different reasons, I don't know they're that attractive. So Matt Campbell staying at Iowa State, Mike Leach staying at Washington State. You know, I know the situation at SC is a little different. I know their new AD, Mike Bone, he was at Cincinnati, high-energy guy, bright guy, and I think he just wants to give Clay Helton a chance to try to succeed before he rocks the boat. But if they don't win next year, he'll rock the boat. So I get why these jobs are kind of sitting there right now because there's a lot of trepidation when you kind of examine the internal issues at some of those places.
All right, a couple of more for you, Roy. I want to get to the playoff now because Reese Davis made a statement that made me choke, and so I had to rewind and watch it again. He said that Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State, he thinks, are in the playoff, even if they lose. I think the remote chance that any of them lose, particularly Ohio State and Clemson, I think it's so remote that it's almost not even worth discussing. I just don't think anybody thinks Clemson is that safe. Do you think Clemson is that safe, or have we all just sort of had our brains scrambled by the Dabo Roy Bus propaganda machine down here?
I don't think Clemson is safe.
Okay.
I think Clemson has to beat Virginia. Now, whether it's by a point or by 100, it doesn't really matter. As long as they win, I think that they're in. But if they were to lose somehow, I mean, if, you know, just the unthinkable happens, they turn it over five times, and, you know, Bryce Perkins turns into Charlie Ward for four quarters, if they were to lose that game, I don't think that they would be in. So, yeah, I would disagree with that assessment. For LSU, it doesn't matter what happens. Georgia, I think that they're in, and I would argue the same thing for Ohio State. So I'm buying the first two, not buying Clemson. Clemson, of course, is about a I want to say, what, 27 or 28 point favorites?
Yeah.
Last time I checked. So they're heavy favorites. It would be an enormous upset. We've seen crazy upsets like that in the past, but no. I think the real mystery right now is what happens with that number four spot and who's able to sneak in there, because there could be some big time one loss drama between multiple programs that all think they should be in there. And by the way, this year doesn't include Alabama, so that kind of opens the door for everything, including the Pac-12 and Utah, Oklahoma and Baylor, and what happens in the Big 12 championship game. So yeah, to me, that's where the drama unfolds late Saturday, as to what happens in those championship games, Big 12 and Pac-12.
Very interesting. Want to ask you about your prep, because you do basketball last night. You've got women's basketball tonight, by the way, 9 o'clock ESPN. Well, Syracuse-Michigan action in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Then you go out west for Hawaii-Boise State. Do you prep for Hawaii-Boise State while you're prepping for these other games, or is that something that you really flip the switch on Friday? What is that? How does that work in your world right now?
Yeah, it's a little wacky. You do your best to try to compartmentalize everything. And so the weird thing is, our crew actually had Hawaii-Boise State about 2 months ago,
yeah,
on the blue turf out in Boise, the city of trees. So we've actually called this game before. So me and my analysts were joking in our production call on Tuesdays, like, we could basically show up and call this game blind without a board of any kind and just kind of feel pretty good about it. So it's a little different because we know those teams pretty well. We actually had that game earlier in the year. But to answer your question, it just every day is something different. I did my two boards for the two basketball games I had this week 2 days ago. I have my football boards printed up by a company up in Virginia, Harrisonburg, Virginia area. They handle that for me. And then you just, it's like drinking from a fire hose all week long. You're just trying to gather as much intel, watch as much film, go to as many practices as you can, and then, you know, just try to sort it out. So, yeah, it's a challenge, but it's awesome. And, I don't complain about it. Love the travel, love the work, love the prep, love being on air. And so it's all good, and it's a fun time of year.
It comes across. It really does. And I know I'm biased because I know you, and I like you quite a bit. But it does. I mean, the fact that you care, it shows. And the fact that you prep really well shows. So
I
want to say that to you as well. All right, real quickly, one final thing before we let you run here. The Roy Philpott crystal ball, as we look ahead to Sunday afternoon, about 12:15 Eastern, who are the four teams that make the college football playoff?
I think LSU dismantles Georgia, and I think if that happens, that could open the door for Mike Bobo to replace Coach Coley down there in Athens, and put a star by that one and see if that is how that
unfolds.
Because I think Mike Bobo could have done wonders with that offensive talent this year, just as it happened for the Dogs. So I think LSU steamrolls Georgia. That eliminates the Dogs from playoff consideration. If Utah beats Oregon and just looks reasonably decent with their advantage at the line of scrimmage, Zach Moss and Tyler Huntley, I think it's Utah. And, you know, Oklahoma's going to have something to say. That brand's going to have something to say. Baylor could. Remember, Baylor led OU by 25 points less than a month ago. And so, I mean, if Baylor wins that game, they certainly have a right to think that they're the number four seed. So my guess is that Utah finds a way, and it just feels like this could be the year where the Pac-12 gets back in it, that Utah has been good enough. I mean, to me, Kwong, they're the one team, and I've talked to a lot of coaches about this, they're the one team at the line of scrimmage that kind of looks like Clemson, or like looks like what Alabama's appeared to be in recent years, not as much this year, or looks like Ohio State. To me, they passed that test more than Oklahoma, who I'm not buying their defense, or, you know, kind of the same thing a little bit with Baylor, I would guess. And, you know, they have more weapons on offense than Georgia does, or they have an identity on offense. So I think Utah finds a way, and I think it's going to be very controversial. And I think there's going to be a lot of people upset in the Midwest and Big 12 country trying to sort out the tea leaves and figure out, well, what happened and how come Jalen Hurts didn't get back in the playoff this time of year? That's going to be an interesting conversation on Sunday, but give me Utah at number four.
I like it, mostly because I picked Utah before the year, but I like it because I believe it. So we can mix business with pleasure there, right, I think. So that's good. Very nice. Roy, always appreciate it, brother. Love getting your insight. Love hearing the inside baseball stuff. Love getting your analysis. Follow him on Twitter, at Roy Philpott. Thanks, man. Good luck tonight, and good luck on Saturday out west.
Hey, many thanks. Merry Christmas to everybody, and thanks for having me on, Quack.
Same to you, brother. Always a pleasure to visit with you. We'll do it again soon. All right, Roy Philpott joining the program here on a Thursday. All right, final segment. I want to unpack a couple things he just pointed out. We'll do that on the other side. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Hey, Tiger fans, be sure and head to ClemsonTigers.com to check out the Clemson men's basketball schedule as the next home game is right around the corner. While you are there, you can purchase tickets as well as take a look at promotional information and even purchase your gear for the game. It's available for you right there on ClemsonTigers.com. Join Coach Brownell and your Clemson Tigers as the action heats up in Little John Coliseum. We'll see you there.
In the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, act now. Edwards Auto Sales has all your year-end savings. Save over $5,750 on remaining 2019 Ford Edges. 2019 Ford Escapes reduced over $5,000. If a nice certified pre-owned Ford is what you're looking for, we have cars, trucks, and SUVs. All come with a 7-year, 100,000-mile engine and powertrain warranty and special interest rates. Edwards Auto Sales, home of no dealer fees at edwardsautosales.net.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals, no residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
Hi, I'm Dabo Sweeney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Here at the Surgery Center at Pelham, we have always strived to provide our patients with a better medical experience. Our team of physicians revolutionized the total hip and total knee replacement surgery by allowing you to have the surgery in the morning and sleep in your bed that same night. Now we've changed the game again with our new transparent pricing system. In an effort to provide patients with a streamlined, transparent pricing process, you can now see what your procedure will cost down to the dollar without even having to come in and visit us. Just go to surgerycenteratpelham.com and you'll see our cost estimator tool right there on the homepage. All you have to do is choose which procedure you're planning on having and enter your insurance information. We'll give you the exact cost, no hidden fees, just an honest, straightforward, and transparent price. All a few clicks away. It's just one more way we're looking to improve our patients' experience. To find out if you're a qualified candidate or to get your price estimate, visit surgerycenteratpelham.com today.
Hi, this is Gary, the mortgage expert. Did you know my FHA 30-year mortgage is 2.99%? Here at Rate Saver Mortgage, we have rates that destroy the big banks. If you're buying a home or refinancing, call 979-1111, 979-1111, or go to GaryTheMortgageExpert.com. APR equals 4.49% based on $250,000 loan and 680 score. Subject to approval, rate subject to change. Gary's NMLS number is 107-429. Rate Saver Mortgage, MLS 1847969.
Equal housing lender.
When Doug and Denise Zerbal opened Your Pie in Clemson, they soon realized what a great opportunity they had to give back to the community they love. They started sponsoring benefits and fundraisers to help local food banks and charities. In doing so, Your Pie franchise recognized Your Pie Clemson with the 2018 Community Engagement Award for the highest financial and personal involvement in their community. It's nice to know when you visit Your Pie, you're helping your neighbors. Your Pie Clemson, helping your community one pie at a time.
Take my word for it. Get your vehicle tinted by Garrett and his team at 10 Solutions of Easily. This is Brad with the Press Box. And not only have I seen a big difference in how much cooler my Honda is, every week someone asks where I got it tinted. 10 Solutions of Easily. That's where. They're the exclusive source for nanotechnology, a tint film that gives you 98% heat blockage. 10 Solutions of Easily took care of me like they will for you. Highway 123, easily next to Silver Bay. 630-3164.
Out of bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
How to knock you up myself.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said ooh, ooh.
Final segment of the program. Glad to have you with us. We appreciate you joining us. Text from the 803 says this. What if Georgia and Utah lose? And then it says, could Clemson still make it? It was a close loss this weekend. I'm going to ignore that question. Or with a close loss this weekend, I think is what it's supposed to say. There we go. Maybe. If Georgia and Utah and Clemson all lose, that would mean that LSU won. So they're in. They're probably number one at that point. Or number two. And there would be no Pac-12 champion. Clemson, in that scenario, Clemson could still make it if both of those things happen. If Oregon wins, they're not getting in. The winner of Oklahoma-Baylor would get in, and then Clemson may still make it. That's fair from the 803. I think that makes sense. Now, my whole point is just saying Clemson is in, carte blanche, no restrictions, no addendums, nothing. Even if they lose, I think it's bonkers. Frankly, if that is true, conference championship games, and I'll say this till the cows come home, and I have said it, conference championship games are less relevant than even we suggested. I mean, why are we playing these games if there are three of the five, the teams are in the playoff, don't even have to worry about winning or losing? You've only got one team that's play. Well, you got, let's see, you got four teams that are trying to play to get in. But you've got three teams in action this weekend that legitimately, according to some, cannot fall out with a loss. That's madness. That's a ridiculous extra game. And quite honestly, in this era of player compensation and individual rights and things of that, how are people getting away with this? If we know it's an extra game, and I will beat this horse until it dies multiple times. I will beat this thing into oblivion. This college football playoff era is so stupid because we have attempted to smash together. It's like a three-year-old trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle, and they ate half the pieces and then they stole from other puzzles to try to put it together. These pieces don't fit. It's like you're trying to put a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle together, and some of it is like the C-spot run, like little puzzle with like four huge pieces. That takes up like half the puzzle. Like, no, you completed something, but it's not the puzzle. The pieces of the puzzle don't fit together. They're not even from the same box.
Then how do we complete the puzzle?
You don't complete the puzzle. This whole thing is a nonsense puzzle of ridiculous proportions that was put together by a three-year-old. The whole thing. You've got conferences that try to have championship games that make a lot of money, but also a team that's lost a conference championship game has never made it to the college football playoff. And by the way, two non-conference championship game participants have made the college football playoff. You've got bowl games that try to exist, but even calling things the New Year's Six doesn't have the same ring as a BCS bowl. So they don't even really matter that much anymore. You got people sitting out of bowl games of all shapes and sizes all over the place. I saw something the other day that said, why in the world would Najee Harris playing the Citrus Bowl for Alabama? The Citrus Bowl! 30 years ago, the Citrus Bowl was a coveted invite. And now you got players who are like, not feeling it. There's only like two bowls that people care about all year. We got a million bowls. Only two of them matter. Unless you're Will Healy's nightclub crew at Charlotte. That's it. That's all that there is. So you got conferences with these conference championship games that don't matter. You got this bowl system that doesn't fit at all. And in fact, has been completely devalued in the minds of players, in particular, by the college football playoff. The whole sport is about the four teams. To the total rejection of like 115 of them. I don't know. There's just all, there are all these things that people are trying to maintain, and they don't work together. The bowl system is incongruent with a playoff. Conference championship games are incongruent with the playoff. The OBCS was kind of a hand in glove with the conference championship games because whoever won the conference championship game would just slide on into these BCS spots. Oh, look, the Orange Bowl gets this team every year, and they slide on in. Now all these bowls that used to get the conference champions because there were only two teams and sometimes they even were two from the same league. Now all these, they basically get the runners-up of all the leagues because all the champions go to the playoff. I'm not saying we should scrap it and do it over. I'm just saying we have tried to add things on that don't make sense. It's like on Friends when Rachel makes the custard thing or whatever. Sanders is here. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know? You know what I'm talking about? James, are you familiar with Friends?
Yes, I'm aware of this reference.
All right. No. Katie, no? Okay, so I'm only talking to James here. Here's the deal. Rachel makes the trifle or whatever she's making.
Right, she puts like peas and beans and stuff
she's
in
like,
it. And like
one layer of jam, raspberry jam. I watched all the Thanksgiving episodes when I was in Florida. One layer of jam, one layer of ladyfingers, one layer of like beef sauteed with peas and onions, and she's making like a shepherd's pie with this other thing, and it doesn't fit. That's what the playoff system is. It's Rachel's stupid custard. It doesn't make any sense. And so, like, people are saying solution. Where is that texter? Solution? There is no solution. That's why when people say we need to take subjectivity out, well, not in this system you can't. Because conference championship games aren't playing either. Because you still have to figure out which conference championship
matters.
Which conference champion stinks the worst. Right. This whole thing, you have to have subjectivity. You have to. It makes me a little bit frustrated how we try to do this. That's the best analogy I've ever come up with. I rescind the jigsaw puzzle put together by a 3-year-old. I'm going with Rachel's custard. Let's go to Travis, who's up with us next. Final phone call of the show, 654 Roars the number. What's up, Travis?
Yes, sir. You asked the question why the conference games, you know, are being played, and the simple answer to that is those games are played because there's money to be made.
Correct.
And Clemson Nation ought to really be grateful that there's a playoff system, because under the old BCS system, we would be really the biggest Georgia Bulldog fans ever this coming weekend, because that'd be the only way Clemson would have a chance to defend his national title.
You know what? That's true.
We would be sitting at number 3 praying that Georgia wins. That'd be the only way Clemson would be able to defend their title. But, you know, luckily there's a playoff system, because Clemson and Ohio State technically should be the teams that played, but as we well know, we got to give the SEC their due, and LSU is right up there. So we're, you know, Clemson Nation is very appreciative and should be thankful for the playoff system. But as long as there's money to be made, those games are going to be played regardless of their importance or significance in the rankings.
You know what's crazy? And Travis, I don't disagree at all. Excuse me. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Absolutely. Thank you. I agree with what he said there. There's money to be made. Here's what's interesting about if we looked at it just from a computer formula standpoint. I'm looking at Sagarin right now. Y'all know I love Jeff Sagarin, like a family member. His top two teams right now are Ohio State and Clemson. Really, I know everyone, and then look, I'm not picking on Travis here, but everyone thinks, oh, the last system, boy, they propped up the SEC something fierce. With Sagarin, you know who the one team that would get hosed out of a playoff spot would be? LSU. That would be the team. They're number 3 in Sagarin. Now, all the computers aren't like Sagarin, but that's what it is, at least going into this week. Now, if they beat Georgia, who's number 5, maybe that changes. You know who's number 4 in Sagarin's rankings? And this is a team that we've said benefited greatly from the BCS. Greatly from the BCS. And has fallen off a bit in the playoff era because they were perfectly suited for the BCS. The number 4 team in Sagarin is Alabama. The reality is LSU would drop down the pecking order if it was just computers, and Alabama would be propped up. So whereas the people with brains know that Alabama has no chance, they shouldn't be in there, LSU you know, LSU would be basically the team that drops down. Alabama would be still in the conversation with two losses as an SEC team. Anyway, 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627. In our last couple minutes here, our last 90 seconds, I want to say a little bit about what Kelly was talking about with the Cowboys and the Bears. And the Cowboys at 6-6 are still very much alive in the playoff picture. In fact, I would argue that with four games to play, if you're two games out, I would say you're alive. If you're three games out, mathematically, I'll honor the math and say it's okay if we like keep you around. I think the Cowboys lose tonight, and I think they're out. I think this is basically the nail in their coffin. Give me the Bears at home on a Thursday night. Hey, did you know Clemson University is the only school in the South that makes blue cheese? It ages on campus, and every hoop is salted, cut, and packaged by hand. That's why judges at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest in Wisconsin named it the best college-made cheese in America, and we hope it's a winner in your kitchen, too. Find it at most upstate Ingles at select Bilo's and family-owned stores across the Carolinas. Look for hoops, wheels, wedges, dressing, and crumbles. Ask for it by name or order online at ClemsonBlueCheese.com. A cookbook and holiday gift packs are also available. This has been happening since 1941. Purchase today. You can go online again, ClemsonBlueCheese.com. The last day to order Christmas purchases online, December 19th. So you got 2 weeks from today to get that blue cheese online. Put it under the tree. Heck, if you're going to stuff a stocking with steak, you can stuff a stocking with a wheel of blue cheese. One more time, ClemsonBlueCheese.com. Upstate Angles, select Bilo's, family-owned stores across Carolinas. Thanks to the interns, Kelly, Roy, Brian, Sanders. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. What's up next, Twin Peaks?
Broadcasting from the Priority One Security Studios, WAHT AM, 1560 Cowpens, WCCP FM.